Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
We do not expect all of you, because our vast audience ranges from young kids all the way up until, you know, 90-year-olds. And I'm being honest here. So I know some of you are not as active on social media as others. Many of you may not even have social media. So let us fill you in. As we discussed yesterday, Brian Snicker stepping away, and I said yesterday we were giving him his flowers. For those who are not familiar, we were praising him and loving on him, and giving him his flowers, guys, is a term used to say, hey, let somebody know now before they're gone. Now, we did a lot of that yesterday, but we also started talking about, at the end of the show, I think it was Day-Day, and he was talking about Bobby Cox and Mike, some of the comparisons came up, and Dede said, hey, is he a, and yeah, man, no, man, actually, he talked about, is he a top manager of all time? And so it got into this discussion about Bobby and Snit. Now, this wasn't necessarily a comparison, but for those of you who are not on social media, last night, this led to something very interesting. Now, Mike, you fill in the blanks from there, because now we have a Hall of Famer who's jumped in.
Yeah, because I put it up there on Twitter. It's my opinion. Now, again, it's not a personal shot. It's a sports take. And I said, Brian Snicker did more with less. Bobby Cox did less with more. That's it. And I was watching movies last night. I was flipping around watching some baseball this morning. I saw when I got on social media. I try to shut it off when I get home, because I think that's a good idea for most people. So this morning, I saw on social media, Chipper hit me at. He basically retweeted what I wrote.
Yes, and what are you going to do about it, you big gas bag?
And that's what Chipper said. You are, without a doubt, a clown. Only an absolute talentless gas bag would take this opportunity to celebrate a glorious retirement by crapping on the generational general manager and manager that ignited the last 35 years of baseball relevance. You can't be serious with this post. And I hit back and I said, look, I'm sorry you feel this way. I said, you know, everybody loves, you know, Snit and Bobby, but I'll die on that hill. That basically Snit never had the consistent resource that Bobby had. Didn't have the generational talent that Chipper played with. And I understand where Chipper's coming from. And to a lesser extent, I understand where some of Braves fans who were upset with my comments. And I was talking, going back and forth with some guys yesterday, Carl, during the end of the show. First off, Bobby Cox is still alive. I know he's in ill health. And we all saw how he was, you know, looked like he's struggling during the 95 reunion. But, I mean, who am I supposed to compare Snicker to? You know, Chuck Tanner? Bobby Wine? I mean, and Bobby and Chipper brings up a great point. Bobby, you know, stepped down from the manager's office and became a general manager and helped to develop that great talent. And then Schultz got the baton and brought even more talent in. But, I mean, who am I supposed to compare Snicker to?
Who?
I wasn't around to watch the 57-58 World Series teams. You know?
If I'm Willie, you gloated Gusberg.
So, and I understand Chipper and anybody else who played for Bobby, they loved him. Like, I covered that team. I worked for Fox Sports South back then. I was in that clubhouse. You know, Emmy nominated Carl one year. I mean, for cover, and I get it. He is a truly lovable guy who had the players' backs, and even more so than Snicker, because he'd get out there, let the umps know what's going on, and people love him. And he was a treasure. But I will die on that hill that he underachieved all the talent that he had. You give Brian Snicker or Tony La Russa or Joe Torre or Jim Leland, three Cy Young Award winners, and the Jones brothers, and all the other talent that came through that building, and I think they'll win more than one World Series in 14 seasons. But it's not a personal shot. It's a sports take. So we've reached out to Chipper. He was initially scheduled to go on Steakhouse this week, and perhaps, maybe if not this week or tomorrow, we'll get Chipper on a later date, because we all love Chipper, and I certainly respect his takes, and he knows more about baseball from his experience than I would. But as a guy that's watched this Braves team since I got here in 98, I believe what I wrote, and I still do.
Now listen, you spineless gas bag.
Well, no, a spineless would back off. And by the way, I said this on the pre-show to Carl. My buddy's caught this. My buddy Ron, I went to high school with. Ron Levine hit me up today, and he's like, he goes, wow. He goes, 40 years ago, Jacklin called you a lazy, talentless turd. Because I was busy talking to girls on the sideline during a game at Sias in high school. And now 40 years later, I get called it by a Hall of Famer.
So
it's all my heat, Theodore P. Gasback.
End of the 90s, early 2000s, I'm covering baseball, and came to town a lot because the Braves were in the playoffs a lot. They won a lot. They were, Mike, for the most part, always favored in these early series that they lost in because of what you just talked about, which was pitching.
Right.
Pitching matters. When you have three legitimate starters, in many cases the Braves had more than that, but we know about the three that are in the Hall of Fame. You felt like you were going to get at least three wins every time you threw those guys out there. We know that didn't happen. I say all that to say that if you look at what the Braves accomplished in the 90s, over 925 wins between 1990 and 99. Now, Chipper obviously goes into the early 2000s. He doesn't retire until 2012. But the point is, with all the wins and all the division titles and all the playoff runs, as I quote one famous rapper, not enough. You didn't win as much as you should have. And the reasoning for that varies. But for us to sit here and act like, well, you know what? It's okay. Or they did whatever they did and it's never going to be talked about. I hate to tell you this, Atlanta. Go outside of our city. Go outside of our state, and people around the country always ask, you from Atlanta?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't the Braves win more, man? They were so good. Do you know how many times I've gotten that? Man, those teams were loaded. What happened? Why do you think they didn't win as much? Now, I'm not going to sit here and blame Bobby Cox for every stinking playoff loss, but Mike, you're on to something when we start talking about why we rank guys where we rank them. And more importantly, in the pecking order of all-time managers. And Bobby, look, he made a lot of runs, got a World Series. He obviously is the best manager we've ever had in this city. There's no debating that. But when you start talking about this particular situation in which Chipper called you, what he called you, a gas bag?
Talentless, a clown, and gas bag.
Clown and gas bag. When you get into this situation and you start talking about this specific thing, I don't think you're off base here. And I'm not saying that because I'm Mike's partner, and I'm not saying, you guys know this. We disagree on a lot of stuff.
Right.
But I'm saying it because other people have said it. People outside of our circle, outside of Atlanta, outside of Braves country have said it. So he's great. Can I tell you he's great, but at the same time critique what he did and examine what happened? We want you to tell us how you feel. 404-726-0929. Many of you were here. Most of you weren't. We know how the city grew between like 96 and 06. The fact of the matter is, if you watch this team for 20, 25 years, whatever it might have been, maybe you just started watching them in the last nine and Snit was the manager. 404-726-0929. Is it okay that we examine both of these guys and talk about what they did and what they accomplished without taking cheap shots, without calling, what did he call you?
Gas bag
and a clown. Can we do that without calling somebody out and saying, hey, you know what? There's no doubt you shouldn't be saying this. Why not? I said today to Mike, to Day-Day and O, there's never a good time for anything. When you get fired, guess what? That day when it comes, and I hope it never does for you guys, if it's a Friday, it's not a good day. If it's a Monday, it's not a good day. And if it's a Wednesday, it's not a good day. There's never a good day to start saying, hey, man, let's start looking at what this guy did and critique. Are we supposed to wait? How long do we wait? And more importantly, now that Snit's walked away, the reason why this conversation is relevant, guys, is because Snit was so damn good, we're now willing to put him in that same category and say, hey, he got a World Series too. Didn't manage as long as Bobby, Let's look at the numbers. Let's see what they did and compare. It's okay.
Right. And as I said, you know, talking about it yesterday, I mean, there's such a legacy because Snicker was around with Bobby. Then eventually we had the gap there, and then Snicker took over. Like Bobby, both went worst to first. You know, but Bobby, and he did it, as Chipper brought up, in part developed because he was the GM and his scouting staff went and got the talent that became that young nucleus back in the early 90s. But John Schirrle also added a lot of pieces to that pie.
It changed a lot.
Okay.
It did.
I mean, and as I said earlier, I mean, from Crime Dog all the way to Gary Sheffield and everything in between, from having enough pitching where guys like Millwood, you know, wouldn't even get a chance to pitch because, you know, we get beaten in the best of five. Ironically, the best of five also became kryptonite for Brian Snicker. You know, the ball bounce is funny for everybody, but when you're elite managers, and the Braves have been blessed to have elite managers, as Chipper pointed out, you judge them by the postseason. You judge them by the big moves. And to me, if you give three Cy Young Award winners, you know, Andrew Jones, Chipper Jones, the legacy of players, I'll put that over a couple years of Freddie Freeman that Snit got. Okay? Compare the starting pitching year after year that Snicker had to juggle. Snicker would have three-fifths of a rotation. Never had anything like what Bobby had. The night shift was the one time the bullpen was great. I know that Cox's bullpen wasn't always elite. But to me, you could have this conversation without all of a sudden treading on a sacred cow that is Bobby Cox without having people lose their minds. I understand Chipper's affinity for his skipper. I get all that. But the numbers are the numbers. And my opinion is it's a free country. I'm free to feel the way I feel about Bobby Cox. And I hope he lives to be 100.
Did he do more with less, or did he do less with more? You tell us, 404-726-0929. And it's okay. We're not going to call you. What do you call you? What do you call you?
Gas bag.
We're not going to call you a clown or a gas bag. We're not going to do that. You're free to tell us how you feel about this. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You can find us, by the way, on social media. Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes and the radio show. It's Dukes and Bell 92.9. Follow the radio station at 92.9 The Game. Let me talk to Andy and Hiram. Andy, what do you think about this? When you talk about Bobby Cox and the Braves and the Bobby Cox Braves, did he do more with less or less with more?
Bobby did less with more, always. And, of course, hey, man. Yeah, I meet y'all all the time when y'all up in Hiram at the Buffalo. So
hey, man.
I figured I'd call in when y'all talking about my Braves.
Well, we appreciate it. We'll be back up there in Hiram. Bobby Cox, nobody's taking any awards, any accolades away from him, anything.
His legacy is secure.
Anything.
I mean, I don't think, you know, and this is the argument I was having with some guys yesterday. I mean, these are the managers, and you brought this up today. Tears of a clown. These are the managers that most of our audience grew up with the most. You know, unless somebody wants to plant a flag for Joe Torre, you know. But that's who you're familiar with. And there's a lot to compare and contrast. It's easy.
What do you think? We want to hear from you, Braves country. Look, we're not talking playoffs. We're not in the playoffs.
Now, normally, I would say, I've been called worse by better. But I've never been called worse. And he is a Hall of Famer.
Chipper's pretty damn good, man.
Of all the things
good
that have been said about me in my radio career, this is the biggest star to ever throw stuff at me.
All right. What do you guys think? 404-726-0929. It's Gas Bag and Clown on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And Dukes.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I was going to give you a pair of those gold blender sunglasses today, Oren, because I tried wearing them and I look like a complete turd wearing those Dion glasses.
Clown.
Would you like them, Day-Day? You'll wear. You know what? Oren, I've got, you know what? They're a $99 value, but because you're making a mockery of Chipper's tweet about me being a gas bagging clown. Yeah. But I do love Sinatra.
I do too.
Yeah.
My fave. Yeah. Hey, man, each Wednesday night, join Day-Day Lewis for Prep Sports Nation, a comprehensive look at the teams and athletes making news in high school sports across the state. It's brought to you by Ingles. Low prices, love the savings. It's right here Wednesday nights on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're going to jump on the phones, and thank you guys for listening. Thank you for calling, and thank you for being a part of Atlanta's number one sports station. We want to be clear at 2:25. If you missed the start of the show and you're going, what are you guys talking about again? Chipper called out Mike and said that he didn't feel like Mike should be saying the things he said about Bobby Cox last night in regards to Snit stepping away. And whether it was timing or just what he said, he despised the comments. And so we're talking about that. But let's be clear, 225. We love Chipper Jones.
Yes.
We cheered Chipper Jones on when he was at his best. When he was at his worst, he is our guy.
And you're right. I don't want this becoming some provocateur who I'm sure somebody saw what I commented on and sent it over to Chipper. And a lot of Braves fans are in their fields.
Sure.
Because they can't delineate, you know, a man who's been struggling with his health and a take about his record as a manager, you know, years ago.
Which is the work.
Which is what I was discussing. Right. But again, that's Chipper's prerogative, but I'm with you. We've had Chipper on the show. We've always said if there's ever a guy we want more around the Braves, whether it's spring training or when guys are struggling at the plate, it's Chipper Jones. And, of course, he's entitled to it. It's his opinion, just like I'm entitled to my opinion. And he loves the guy. Like, everyone who played for Bobby loves the guy. I understand that. But just to Carl's point, we would love to get Chipper on to talk about it.
Yeah. So, that's with that said, the question for you is, though, and it's okay, no matter which way you stand on this, do you feel like Bobby Cox, with the great teams he had, even the lesser teams, did he overachieve with lesser talent in the years that you felt like the Braves weren't that good? And there were very few years in the 90s when they weren't that good. Or do you feel like he did more with less or less with more? That's really the discussion. That's how this all came about as we're comparing and talking about Brian Snicker. Snicker doesn't have one single pitcher that he managed that's going to the Hall of Fame. Not one. And if you're going to say Chris Sale, this is at the end of the tenure.
Right.
And by the way, that's not a guy that came up in the organization. Okay. Right.
Maybe Max Fried, you know, catches a break health-wise and pitches up to, you know, 250 wins or whatever the benchmark will be when his career is over. But Max Fried was the best pitcher he had. You know, we talked about it. You know, Snicker had to deal with injuries up the yin-yang. Fulton Avich, you know, he looked like a young promising star. Then he flakes out. Then Soroka, the injuries. Ian Anderson. You know, we talked about Sean Newcomb. Tuki Toussaint. You know, at one point he was using Julio Teheran. I mean, Julio Teheran was our game opening day starter for many years. Not even close to the kind of firepower that Bobby Cox had at starting pitching.
Stan in Cartersville, thank you for listening, Stan. Hey, man, what do you think?
Yeah, guys, I think I'm going to have to side with Michael on this just a little bit, with a little bit of a caveat to that. So baseball, Major League Baseball, is a marathon. The season is a marathon. It's not a sprint, and it's completely different than the postseason. And I think Bobby Cox is probably the best Major League Baseball manager for the regular season that's ever been in the sport. But he was not the best postseason manager. Mm. That doesn't mean he wasn't a good postseason manager. You know, you and I, all sports fans, know that in the postseason, in any sport, it's catching lightning in a bottle. You have to be healthy. You have to hit. Everybody has to be, especially in baseball, everybody has to be get hot at the right time. It is such a finite area that you have to hit right there in the postseason to do that. And that's not all Bobby Cox's fault. But you take a couple of scenarios. You take Kent Herbeck not pulling Ron Gann off the base in 91 and 96. If Mark Wurlers throws a fastball instead of a slider to Jim Leyritz, we're not having this conversation because we've got three world championships for Bobby Cox there. So there's so many little things that affect this in postseason that over the course of a long season don't, because it showed that the Braves were clearly the best team in the 90s both sides, the American League and National League. So that's my take on it, guys.
No, it's a great take.
Thank you.
And you're bringing up some great history there. And it's a conversation that we had a couple of years ago with John Smoltz, you know, about the validation of that. And even John kind of paused and said, yeah, another one would have really kind of put it over the top. And the 96, you know, that's kind of like the high watermark. You're right. You know, that throw to Leyritz. And what maybe goes the other way? Does things change? I don't know. It's kind of like the great what-ifs for the Falcons in the Super Bowl 51. But it's a great point. Not all. I mean, look at Tony La Russa. He's got three World Series. He lost two of three with one of the best teams in the history of baseball, the Oakland A's.
Ever.
The Bash Brothers. I mean, he lost to the Cincinnati Reds. Got swept by him in 1990. Had all his division titles with the Cardinals. He won two with the Cardinals, which, again, that's Jim Leyritz. Now, I think you could argue that aside from Bonds, the talent went down a little bit on that Pirates squad. Never had the pitch that the Braves had. But you look at the guys, the top managers based on wins and losses, and some of the best. Bruce Bochy's got four World Series.
It's crazy.
Right? But again, to everything the caller said, and I understand part of that, but at the end of the day, you do judge the elite managers on the championships.
Stan, you said something, and it's okay. We're giving you permission. We can say these things because you're vested. You said, I think he was a great regular season manager. I don't think he was the best postseason manager. It's okay. That's fine to say that based on what you feel and what you saw with your own eyes. Jeff on 75. Jeff, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, man, what are you thinking about this?
What's up, guys?
Hey, man.
I got a couple of things with it. I'm sort of 60-40 leaning towards Mike because with Bobby Cox, yes, we had all of the talent. But Greg Maddux was here, but Greg Maddux should have only started in Atlanta because his breaking balls don't break as much when we go to these cold climate cities sometimes. He may have a pretty good – I think he may have a losing record in postseason than his regular season.
He's 11-14, to your point.
Yes. So that's what I mean, because it seems like if he's pitching in a cold climate, breaking balls don't break as fast, as hard. Smoltz, Avery, the other guys that threw harder, they can get the ball over the plate with perfection because that thing is still coming at you. Also, with Snit, Snit had to pull the right card, punch the right buttons because he knew – his team, he knew all the injuries, what he had. And one last thing, on the next replacement for Snit, I hope they have the wherewithal that Snit had to stick with his players because Snit, everybody was hollering for players to be benched, where there was Micah Harris, there was Ozzy, there was Ozuna. Snit stuck with them. Then all of a sudden, boom, light came on, they started stroking. I mean, they were hitting everything. So I don't know. I like Snit. I like Bobby Cox, but I like Snit just a little bit better.
Fair.
Thanks, guys, for taking my call.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you listening. Jeff on 75. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're not talking playoffs because we're not in them. Hopefully next season we will be. Hopefully they make the right moves, and it's going to be a very big offseason for the Braves. But I want to point out something that he said. Jeff on 75, we're going to get to Jeff and Alpharetta here in a minute. Mike, he said Snit had to push all the right buttons. He's not lying. There was little room for error in the year that we won the World Series. With all the replacement pieces, and we forget, a lot of that was done to fill the void of one Ronald Acuña. Okay? That is why you went and got all these guys, and they all gave you something else. But he had to push the right buttons. Here's the kicker. Bobby had room for error because his teams were better. Bobby had room for error because his teams were better. If Snit screwed one of these decisions up, guys, we don't win it.
Now, the other thing, and this is where you could go through, like, this year, you can look at it. I did a little bit yesterday at the end of the show talking with some of the Braves fans. We were debating this question. And again, if you're just tuning in yesterday, I said that Snit did more with less, and I thought that Bobby Cox did less with more. The year you got the Dodgers down 3-1, you got the now I know the 2020 season is strange because look, the Dodgers hung a pennant for it. It still matters. They got rings.
They did.
But that's a year, guys. We're up 3-1 in the NLCS
in a shortened season,
right? But rare that you're going to miss that opportunity. Why did we blow it? We had no pitching. You got the Dodgers down 3-1. You know what Snicker had to roll with? A bullpen start. We had to go Minter, Matzik, Green, Smith, Webb, Tomlin.
Keep your fingers crossed.
That's a little bit different than what the Dodgers are rolling with, okay? This is where, in 97, I'll give you a check for Bobby Cox. It's not Bobby Cox's fault that Greg, you don't get the strike calls from Eric Gregg.
Yep.
That was it Hernandez? Who was the pitcher?
It was.
For the Marlins.
It was.
Was getting stuff like 2 feet outside. But I heard the caller previously, and that's the thing with Maddox. Greg Maddox is one of the greatest pitchers of all time. But when it's a game six or a game seven, who do you want on the bump? I want John Smoltz. I want Tom Glavine.
I agree with that. Jeff in Alpharetta, you're up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Jeff, hey, man, how you feeling about this?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
I do slightly disagree with you, Mike. You can't underestimate the fact in a 9-year period he went to 5 World Series. 5.
Right.
Besides Joe Torre, I can't think of another modern-day manager that has done that. And in the era he was coaching and manager is a lot different than the era we're in now. There was the PEDs, all the other crazy things with baseball that was going on. You can't underestimate, just because he didn't win those World Series doesn't mean he didn't deserve the credit for getting to the World
Series. But at the end of the day, when you're talking about elite managers, and that's what we're talking about, because Snicker, I thought, you know, amazing what he pulled off in 21. But, I mean, how else do you judge them? I mean, the manager, that's why when we talk about the Tony La Russas of the world, you know, and the guys, whoever you consider are the elite managers of all time, this is what it comes down to. I thought, I mentioned to Carl today on the pre-show, the 99 season when Javi went down, that's one of the best, that's Chipper's MVP season. That's one of his better managing jobs. I can, for the life of me, I'll never understand the 1998 affinity for platooning players. When the Braves start hitting in San Diego, we come back to, go back and look it up. Look at the lineup that manager Cox put out there in game six. That's a team that could have gone back to the World Series.
I don't want to be next to this clown. You might be picking up the pace a little.
Is Chipper right or is he wrong? Is Mike right or is he wrong? Chipper said, you are, without a doubt, a clown. Only an absolute talentless gas bag would take this opportunity to celebrate a glorious retirement by crapping on a generational GM and manager that ignited the last 35 years. Mike's response? Brian Snicker did more with less. You tell us, 404-726-0929. Bobby Cox did less with more. It's Dukes and Bell.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, it is October. Halloween is right around the corner. You will see clowns.
By the way, Day-Day, try on those blenders I just gave you. $99 value.
Just rubbing it in over here right now, huh?
You know, since Oren continues to throw musical missives at me.
I'm actually digging.
Bicycle clowns!
See, he can wear those. You know what? Those look cool.
Okay, you know what?
What do you think?
I dare you to wear those home tonight.
Does anybody look good in those glasses other than Deion Sanders?
You can't see. Oh. Prescription? Yeah.
All right. Give them to Oren then.
I dare you to wear those. I mean, honestly, walk in the house, be like, baby, I'm home. Let her walk out and see you like
that. All right. See if they fit on Oren's big giant cranium.
It is Dukes and Bell. This hour is
It's called a gas bag. Everything just turns around on me now.
There you go. You try them on. If that doesn't work, you can have them. I wore these. I literally wore these. I was on the Water Boys podcast. They had just come that day.
I'm good.
Oh, there you go. Look, Oren's got the perfect size noggin.
Actually,
for those.
No, that does look good.
And my skin tone, I think, complements this very well.
You know what? That's what it is.
When was your birthday?
February.
There you go.
Thank you.
Ew. What if it was next June?
Thanks, Mike.
Well, I think a belated birthday. There you go. Those actually look good on you. Congratulations.
Yeah, no, those do. Those do.
No, because I had them on in the Water Boys podcast. I said, look, they just came in. And what do you think? And they're like, you look like, nah. Because I'm on the camera. I go, you look like a D-bag. Yeah. You just, it's hard to pull that look off.
No, that's why I get those prescription shades I get, guys. And y'all laugh at me like, oh, he's wearing shades. No, I can't see. All right, Oren, congratulations. This hour is brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash. Let Wise Guys lights brighten your holidays this year. We're going to jump back on the phones at 404-726-0929. It's Thursday. Our Falcons are off Sunday. We do have news, though, that I think we all should be very excited about. We're going to talk to you about coming up at the top of the hour. And also, we're going to get a chance to talk to Barbara Dooley, who we absolutely adore, at 4 o'clock to talk about the Dogs. Mm. They got a big game against Kentucky. They cannot get caught sleeping based on what happened against Alabama, and I don't think they will, but I want to know what Barbara thought about last week, Mike. Mm. So she will join us at 4, and then we're going to talk more college football with Mike Griffin in the 5 o'clock hour. So lots of stuff to get to, but if you're just tuning in, who's right, who's wrong? And we want to know your opinion on this because we're talking about the two greatest managers in Braves history. That's where I have him. Now, is one better than the other? Yes, as Bobby did it longer, and he went to more World Series.
Right.
I don't think that is even the debate here. But when you start talking about, hey, this is not taking a shot, and I agree, Mike, I don't think you took a shot. You didn't take a shot yesterday. You said the same thing on the show, ironically,
right,
that you said on social media. It's just that you have more clowns and gas bags on social media
right.
who took it the wrong way and they wanted to run with
right.
it.
Right. We said this earlier. Not trying to get a beef with Chipper. Like I said, get Chipper on. Because, I mean, Chipper brought up a great point. You know, Bobby was, in the years interim from his time when he stepped down at manager, and then he became the GM. And he was part is that whatever Bobby was doing in that personnel department with his scouts, they went and developed some of that talent that became Avery, right? And Ron Gant and Justice and all that stuff. I mean, and certainly Glavine and Smoltzy. You know, the Doyle Alexander trade, for instance, right? Which goes down in history, or infamy if you're a Tigers fan.
That's right.
And John's from Michigan. So, I mean, but we're talking about World Series performance because that's what I'm comparing. That's apples to oranges. I'm talking Snicker as a manager versus Bobby Cox as a manager.
All right, plenty more of your calls. Appreciate you guys listening. Jason and Dunwoody, you're up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And by the way, we appreciate all of Braves Country chiming in on this, whether you're on social media or you're hitting us up. However, you're texting us at 404-726-0929, or you can call. Jason, what's on your mind? Tell us what you think, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
So check it out, bro. Like, obviously, like, Bobby Cox is a beloved figure, and, like, Chipper is going to be a little sensitive about it. He's in his little feels about it. But I don't think that the take is crapping on Bobby Cox. Like, that's a pretty hyperbolic way to frame what was being argued. But fine, Chipper is emotional about it, and that's one thing. But I want to zoom out a little bit from just specifically Bobby Cox and Snicker and just talk about the whole idea of doing less with more.
Okay.
Like, I've had plenty of arguments with people about Phil Jackson. Is Phil Jackson the greatest NBA coach of all time, et cetera, et cetera? And a lot of guys would say, no, he's not the greatest NBA coach. He always has the best players. Of course he should win. So when you have good players, people expect you to do a lot with that talent. I've had people tell me that Larry Brown is a better coach than Phil Jackson because Larry Brown did more with less.
Right.
And so the whole concept, if you're mad, if you're someone out there who is mad about the idea that Bobby Cox maybe did less with more, like, that's a real concept. That's a real thing. I don't think that's a shot. I think that's just how it goes sometimes when you run a team or run a club. If you have all the talent, people are going to expect you to get more than one or two championships. When you have all-time world-class MVP Hall of Fame talent like that. It just is what it is.
Right.
It's a great phone call, by the way. It really is.
Right.
Because this debate, as much as it is right now about Atlanta, he's absolutely right. And I can't tell you how many times I've had that debate with others, Mike, in regards to just sports, generally speaking. If he didn't have Kobe and Shaq, does Phil win? If he didn't have, and I love this. I loved his opinion about this, but go ahead. I know you wanted to finish.
No, I'm with you. I just, every time I get that argument, and nothing against Phil, because, like, Phil is a unique character. You know what I mean? And everybody talks about, you know, well, the I guess the other side of the coin to Phil Jackson is, you know, that Kurt Rambis or Del Harris couldn't make it work.
Right.
You know, and,
right.
But you know, and Shaq and Kobe were monster egos, and there was friction even when they were winning. We all know that's well documented. But Phil was able to you know, make that soap opera work. But, you know, you got the generational talent in Michael. It's one of those great debates, you know. Then, and same thing for, like, Bill Walsh with the 49ers. He built that thing. You know, that culture was his. You know, not only did he do it, he had the foresight to bring in a Steve Young when he had a Joe Montana.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, and then everyone always says, well, Montana was a system. Every quarterback plays in a system. How good is the system? How good is the system playing to your strengths? The quarterback still has to execute. But it is one of those great sort of sports and barroom debates, right?
Matt Ryan won a MVP in the Shanahan system. Brock Purdy has not. I'm just saying.
Right.
The point is Matt Ryan was way more talented at the position. Brock Purdy can play it. He can he can complete passes, Mike. The offense can move. He's not Matt Ryan. That's what you're talking about. Right. Like, the system's the same. Why are some guys elevated in those systems and other guys are just really guys?
Right. By the way, the other thing, a couple of guys hit us up on the text line, and I got this on Twitter this morning. Just real quick, you know, when somebody calls you a name, and like, I got the ultimate respect for
Chip. Yes, bag.
It's like I went through a suspension once for social media. I've been called a lot worse. People want me to get fired back then. You had to sit here and cover the shop.
Trust me. I remember.
But I just think when it's social media and everything else, I don't know. I don't lose sleep over that stuff. Steak's had shots taken at him over the years.
No, I haven't. I mean, everybody loves
to Steak and Shake.
And by the way, you know, the only thing I could compare it to professionally, the Chipper, you know, sticking up for what he felt was a slight to Bobby Cox, was if somebody takes a shot at Steak. His Steak was the guy that gave me my shot in sports talk radio, so I would always defend Steaky. But it's not worth losing sleep over.
You better.
But I just get a kick out of how people feel like Chipper says something, like, I'm going to go crawl up in a ball and not show up for work today.
I mean, funny, like I'm a clown.
There truly is. Thank you, Joe Pesci. There truly is no such thing as bad publicity in our business.
No, not at all, man. And again, no hard feelings.
And it's a fun debate. I just think it was mischaracterized by what Chipper said. Now, if Chipper wants to come on and call me that, that's fine, too. I think he's going a little overboard to one of the caller's points.
Well, the word he used was hyperbolic sensitive. Right? Because of his connection and his relationship with the person you're talking about.
Right, because he came up through his entire baseball career. Bobby was the manager. And everybody, and as I said earlier, I was in that clubhouse. I know what those guys, what he meant to them and how he handled it and the kind of guy he was and is. So, and that's why when we compare Sticker, it's a logical comparison because there's so many similarities between the two guys.
I agree. Wayne in Jonesboro. Wayne, what's going on? Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, guys, I'm Wayne, but y'all know me as Sauce Man, the So Good Barbecue Sauce Man.
Oh, what's going on, man? Sauce Man,
that is
happening?
Some mighty fine sauce.
It is. It's good stuff.
Appreciate it, guys. Hey, I got to, you know, I think that Bobby definitely did less with more.
Mm.
And I was a little closer to the situation. Back during the first years, I did security for the Braves.
Security?
Mm. Yep. One of the best jobs I ever had. You tell me I got to watch the game and I get a check?
Right.
Oh, yeah, sign me up. But what happened with things that I've seen is two situations. I think that Bobby was the best evaluator of talent in baseball. Mm-hmm. You know, he could pick talent, but he wasn't the best manager. Now, Snick come to work every day with duct tape because he don't know what they're going to run into. You know, he just got to tape guys up. But two situations that blew my mind up close with the Braves. One, when the Braves played the Marlins in the playoff, the divisional round, that year, Pete Smith had a .012 ERA against the Marlins. He did not get one start in the playoffs because Bobby Cox had to line his boys up, Maddox, Moats, Glavine, and Avery. Pete Smith did not get one start. He was undefeated the whole season with a 0.12 ERA against the team, and he didn't even get a start. I didn't understand that. Secondly, David Justice said that he grew up in a neighborhood, ironically, where most of the guys in his neighborhood was left-handed. So he was used to hitting against left-handed pitching. His career, he batted over 300 against left-handed pitching. But when Bobby was managing him, he would sit David Justice down with the righty-lefty thing. You know, I'm like, come on, Bobby. I mean, just look at the numbers. But,
and that's one of my beefs, the platoon thing. Because once Klesko got out to the West Coast and started hitting against both lefties and righties, he put up solid numbers. Yeah. Just never got that opportunity here in Atlanta.
It's a good point, man. Sauce Man, we appreciate you listening. Interesting perspective. If you guys don't remember, or maybe you weren't watching baseball at that time, the 97 World Series team for the Marlins was stacked as far as pitching. Okay? Kevin Brown, who ultimately went to San Diego, Alex Fernandez, Levon Hernandez, Owlett, they were stacked.
Rob Nen was the closer on that team.
And that was the team, for those, again, who don't remember, that basically they bought that championship. They went all in, and they paid everybody. And as soon as they won it, they dispersed everybody. And so it wasn't for the long term. This was supposed to be like, oh, my God, can they keep this team together? That wasn't the point. They got everything they wanted. But, Mike, look, we could be critical of every decision. And Mike and I were just having this conversation about decision-making with managers. Whether it's our Braves or anybody else. Guys, if this thing is so easy, let's just put AI in there. Let's just put a robot in there and have them make these decisions. These decisions are really heartfelt, Mike. They are feel. They are, hey, I've seen this 8 million times, and you know what? This is what I think's about to happen, and so I'm going to go with this move. And I think that's what makes this stuff so interesting. My point is, if you put AI in there, right, and it's able to calculate all this stuff, Mike, and it just makes a decision based on the numbers, it takes the emotion out of it.
Right.
The reason why we care is because we're vested, we're watching, oh, he should do this, and then they do something else, and we lose our minds. That's the human element that should never go away.
Right. And otherwise, Carl and I were saying during the commercial break, I mean, if you feel that, well, the ball bounce is funny for everyone, they just have, then we'll have robot managers along with robot umpires.
That's right.
And then Dave Roberts can be replaced by a robot. You just put a punch card in, because that's kind of what the Dodgers are doing anyway. They're so locked into analytics. And for those who don't remember, Sterling Hitchcock was on the bump for the Padres in Game 6 of the NLCS. The left-handed hitters had success on the West Coast. They come back, and Bobby Cox rolled out this right-handed lineup that just made, I remember we were doing the show across the street, and we're like, what? Gerald Williams? Who? I mean, Walt White. It was just, there was a lot of things that just, to me, was my first red flag about the overuse of the platoon thing. It's sometimes go with a hot hand.
Hey, join us Friday. Not us, but our boys, Andy and Randy at Twin Peaks. Come have lunch with the fellas, guys. They'll be on 11 to 2. It's Twin Peaks and Buckhead right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Live show. Do not miss it. All right, we're coming back. Thanks for all the calls. We're going to continue to take your phone calls. If you have a thought or two on this, Chipper Jones calls out Mike about his comments on Bobby Cox. And we'll dive into some NFL stuff because there's injuries everywhere, it seems like. Falcons are off, and we have Falcon news. Stay right there.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.